Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day. If this is the first time you are listening to this podcast, I welcome. One thing you will notice about this podcast is that I love truth. I love God's word. Everything I got, every fiber of my being, one of the things I just want to be in God's word all the time. And I work, you know, a full-time job too, 40 hours, so I got to space myself out, but God's word is beautiful, and I love it. I study it constantly, and I still got more studying to do. I don't claim to know everything, as so much I need to study and seek God's direction on, but this website was developed with that in mind, also with that wake-up call to here in America. And I'm going to probably eventually change that title one day to just something that's over just everybody, just not America, you know, centering on America because of the move away from God's word. It rattles me, it shakes me, to look across our nation, to look at our churches. I cry. I know all this has to take place for Jesus to come back, but to see churches turn from God's true word, it really breaks my heart. The things are so clearly spoken in scripture. Marriage between a man and a woman, this, you can't get no clearer than that. The sanctity of that marriage, and we look at America and we see homosexuality and the legalness of man and man marrying and women marrying. Well, I'll tell you here eventually one day, I believe, and I don't claim to be a prophet, I just watch our times we're living in is here in America, or if even has that name one day, maybe America's name will be stripped. Maybe we might be invaded by another country. I don't know. God knows, though. That we, us preachers, standing on God's word, simply preaching marriages between a man and a woman and among other things, will face some form of consequences. That could be being arrested, at the worst, possibly killed. And a lot of people don't want to hear that. And a lot of my, it's sad. You speak like this and people look like you lost your mind. And it's just a wake-up call. The line is drawn in the sand. It's just a matter of time if the preachers in America will wake up. And they are ones that are woken. Not woke, but I'm talking about woke to God's scripture, his truth, not being woke from what culture calls the woke up crowd, but being woken up from their sleep from and looking at God's truth. And there's those that have been preaching that for long periods of time about the gospel truth, especially between marriage between a man and a woman. And it's just really breaks my heart to see that. But many will cave and compromise that clear written scripture between marriage between a man and a woman. And I'm only focusing on that one aspect. I could go deeper, but that's this whole website is dedicated to of pointing people to truth, to say, wake up. We need men of God who study God's word and that loves God's word more than they love this world. I won't tell you that's becoming a rarity. even those even professing, but then look at their lives. Not, you can see clearly they're living two different lives, and God will ultimately handle them on that. I pray they repent and they turn from their lukewarm ways to the true and living, our almighty, powerful God. So we are continuing our Bible study here in Matthew, and I pray that you are being blessed by this and that you're learning some things through this study. The goal is, you know, I take passages out of Matthew. I'm not doing a full exposit of every verse by verse. But I'm doing kind of sectional wise, but you'll see that through this. The goal is just, you know, this is one way to be able to break down the scriptures and do a good Bible study. This is to model that for you guys, and hope that you take this model and you use it, and you go back over these sections that we go over, and not only these, the ones that we don't go over, and you use that to study God's Word. We should be students of God's Word more than anything else in this world. The Bible study this week is called "Where Is Jesus?" That is, "Where Is Jesus?" The overarching kind of theme here would be Jesus was resurrected to reign forever as the King. Jesus was resurrected to reign forever as the King. Our reading is in Matthew 28, 1 through 15. That's Matthew 28, 1 through 15. Let's read that. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to draw toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the scepter. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door, and he sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, "Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Behold, he goes before you in Galilee, there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you." And they depart quickly from the scepter with fear and great joy, and they run, ran to bring his disciples word. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail!" And they came and they held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus to him, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brother that they go into Galilee, that there shall they see me. And now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and they took counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night, they stole him by while we were asleep. And if this came to the governor's ears, we will pursue him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And the saying is common reported among the Jews unto this day." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just get into your word. We lift you up more than anything else. Our hearts are yours. We seek your direction always, and we pray for your guidance in this study. Give me the words you need me to say. Sweet Holy Spirit, guide me to speak to whoever's listening today the truth of the gospel. Throughout the resurrection, we are most miserable as we can read the scriptures. The resurrection is so important, the centerpiece of the gospel. And without that, we are miserable. God, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the blood that was shed on Calvary, the blood on the cross that was for the atonement for our sins. For our sins are many, but your grace and mercy covers them. And we know that you rose. And we know that you're coming back one day for us. Those that truly are yours. Abiding in you, pursuing you to the very end. As you say in Matthew 24:13. Those that persevere to the end will be saved. Thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for the guidance. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name. You know, when we look at this specific passage, I'll encourage you on your own free time to go back and read through this passage. And I will encourage you, highlight the description of the angel's appearance. And what does this description suggest about God? Also, circle words or phrases that point to emotions experienced by the soldiers and the woman. And what do these emotions reveal about their understanding of what they witness? Joy and gratitude in our hearts, right, prompts us to celebrate. Our celebrations may focus on significant people who have made a huge difference to us. Or we may celebrate events that have changed the direction of our lives in a constructive way. Celebration gives us an opportunity to have a transformational moment or moments in our life that has changed us. It can always also allow us to express our gratitude for the mentors who God has placed in our life, who shaped our lives. And on this passage is dealing with resurrection, right? As we say, Resurrection Sunday. Christians celebrate on Resurrection Sunday. And of course, we celebrate His resurrection every day. We should. Why? Because this is Jesus' victory over death. Reason we celebrate becomes clearer and the longer we walk with Christ. His resurrection serves as a centerpiece of our relationship with Him. He's alive. He lives in us. The moment we commit our lives to Him. I'm going to use that word commit because that's important. A lot of people don't understand that word commit and what it means. You commit yourself fully and truly to Him. That commitment means that belief. And that belief that we see in John 3:16-17 and Romans 10:8-9. The root Greek of that word is pursue. For God so loved the world, whoever believe, you can actually take that word pursue, that pursue Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So we are supposed to be walking with Jesus. We are committing our life. Those that truly have committed their life with Jesus will seek to walk with Him, not away from Him. Here, Matthew's account of Jesus' resurrection deserves our attention. His account provides the details related to the world-changing moments when Jesus was raised from the grave. As we go through this study, I want to prompt you to join the followers here, around the world who worship the living Lord. The account also reminds us that the truth of Christ's resurrection needs to be shared with everyone and everywhere. You know, before we go into this, I just want to give y'all a few more scriptures here on the resurrection of Jesus. It's Romans 6:4, Romans 8:11, Romans 10:9, 1 Corinthians 15:14-17, 1 Thessalonians 4:14-17, I want you to go and look at those. You know what? Let's read a few of them. Why not? Love God's word, guys. I'm not going to apologize for that. I love studying God's word. And I pray that if you're following this ministry, you'll love the same thing. Getting to God's word. Romans 6:4. Right? Says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in that newness of life, guys. We are supposed to walk in not darkness, in light, life. So that's critical here. Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Romans 10:9 says, and what if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart. And the same word here, believe, is that Greek word. You can get to the root of that is pursue him in thy heart, and that God have risen him from the dead, and thou shall be saved. 1 Corinthians 15:14-17 says, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain? Your faith is also in vain. Yea, we are found false witness of God, because we have testified of God that raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not, for the dead rise not, there is not Christ raised. And 17 saying, if Christ be not risen, your faith is vain. And you are in your sins. Just listen what Paul is speaking to the Corinthians. He's speaking them to the Corinthians here. And those around. And many through the years have read these passages. And what he's speaking to us today. Because this is the living word of God. It's mighty and it's great. It is fundamental to our life to understand the resurrection. Without that resurrection, we would be miserable. Our faith would be in vain. Those are attacking our faith. They're being pulled by Satan. We should never let them that question our faith get to us. We pray for their souls, because we know what waits for them. It ain't about them being right and they're not right. It's about them being wrong. But the most miserable part of that for me is knowing if they die with that thought in their heads that they're questioning the resurrection, they don't believe in the resurrection, they may think what they understand, or they may not even think what hell is. They may not think it doesn't exist, but it doesn't say the fact it does. It doesn't change the fact it does exist, and that they will go there, and that breaks his heart. And we find those people, and if we can't reason, when we pray for them and we lift them up to God and say, God, move in their life where it's too late. There's nothing wrong with praying for those that are lost. Alright. And last one is 1 Thessalonians 4:14-17. Oh, let me flip to it. My Bible's, this one's falling apart on me. I've used it so many times. Actually, this was a Bible I had when I was a child. I still have it. I think that was my teenager years. And that's what I'm using right now. First, Thessalonians 4, 14 through 17. First Thessalonians 4:14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so then also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the airs. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. So I just wanted to share those few passages here with you guys. So, Matthew 28, 1 through 15. When we look at that whole section here, what we're seeing is, after Jesus' crucifixion and death, Joseph of Arimathea buried him in a tomb that Joseph had prepared for him, carved from the rock on a hillside. And of course, you see that in Matthew 27, 57 through 60. Security of the site began with rolling a large stone across the doorway. You can see that also in Matthew 27, 60. The Jewish leaders insist the Roman governor seal the stone and assign a group of soldiers to guard it against anyone who might take the body away. And you see that in Matthew 27, 62 through 66. These details are important to understanding the reality of the resurrection. Jewish leaders were scared. Romans were scornful. Right? Followers of Jesus were saddened beyond heartache. Then the dawn broke on the first day of the week, revealing this truth: the grave was empty and Jesus was alive. Matthew is not the only one that shared an account of Jesus' resurrection. We see this in Mark, Luke, and John. You can see it in Mark 16, 1 through 8. That's Mark 16, 1 through 8. You can see that in Luke 24, 1 through 12. John 20, 1 through 18. And through the New Testament, the resurrection of Christ became the focal point in proclaiming the gospel. For example, Peter pointed out to the resurrection when he preached the good news of Christ at Pentecost. You can find that in Acts 2, 22 through 36. Paul also understood the resurrection of Christ when he wrote about what to be included in the proclamation of Jesus Christ. You can find that in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8. John had the resurrection of Christ in mind when he described his vision of the slaughtered lamb that took the scroll. You can find that in Revelation 5. According to Christians across the centuries, have celebrated Christ's resurrection. Amen. Now looking at our key passage, in Matthew 28. Let's break down verse 1, and we'll just work our way through these verses. So in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the scepter. As soon as Sabbath came to close, two women went to Jesus' tomb here. Matthew provides the critical details about this early morning walk. As the sun began to rise on Sunday, the first day of the week, they set out for the tomb. Mary Magdalene was a loyal follower of Christ who had looked on it in sorrow as he died on the cross. Luke provided a little more details about her. We know here, you can find that in Luke 8:3, where he casts the demons out of her. Another woman named Mary, accomplisher, was with her. accompany her. Matthew wrote that she was the mother of two of the Jesus disciples. Find that in Matthew 27:56. Both of the women have followed along and watched as Jesus' body was removed from the cross and taken to the tomb. See that in Matthew 27:61. And they knew where Jesus' body had been laid, and they waited for the seventh day to end so they could return to it. Verse 2 says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat up on it." Early at the moment Jesus died on the cross, the earth had a quake. Rocks had been broken. The veil in the temple been ripped from top to bottom. You see that in Matthew 27:51. Now the earth shook again. This great earthquake points to that the response of creation to the resurrection of Christ. Matthew reports that the earth quaked on Sunday morning because one of the Lord's angels has stepped in from heaven. The angel went to the tomb, opened it, and once he moved the stone from the entry to the tomb, he sat on it, a quiet gesture of confidence and victory. Sitting on a stone provided the angel an opportunity to wait as the women made their way to the tomb. Notice that he did not move the stone so Jesus could get out of the tomb. Rather, he moved it out of the way so everyone could get into the tomb and see Jesus was not there. Verse 3 and 4 says, "His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him the keepers did shake, became as dead men." The angel here, like lighting, and wore a white robe. Purity reflect in the robe resembles fresh snow. Heavenly purity and majestic blend together perfectly in the angel's brilliant display of eternal glory. The presence of the angel shook the guards. They were tough Roman soldiers here. Warriors, right? Who have probably been in battles more than a few times. Maybe they have scars on their face, right? War wounds. But these guys, they were shaken by fear when they beheld the angel's raiment appearance. The shock of what they saw overwhelmed them, caused them to pass out and left them unconscious on the ground. Everyone saw their helpless figures would have drawn the conclusion they had died. Could you just imagine? These soldiers, these warriors, these manly men of war, they'd never seen nothing like that before. This angel scared them, fear. We don't really know about the conversion of these soldiers, but if we just look at God's word, we know somehow they were, at least some of them had to be converted that day, experiencing such, that's just, it just blows my mind just thinking about it. If we encounter an angel like that, we wouldn't know what to do. And they didn't know what to do. And I'm not encouraging what they would call angel worship. I'm just pointing here to scripture and that experience that the soldiers were seeing. Jesus Christ is the only one that deserves our worship and our praise. I'm just sitting here just kind of reflecting and thinking about that. It's good to meditate on God's word. It's easy to run through passages and not sit there and ponder and pray over them. Don't get in a hurry. Let God's word soak into your very being, radiating that light in your life. verse 5 through 6 says, "And the angel answering said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. And he is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." The presence of the angels frightening the women too, but he comforted them so he could give them an assignment. They had a good reason for being afraid. They had came to the tomb because the body of Jesus had been placed there after he was crucified. They had watched as the stones had been placed over the entry to the tomb, sealed by the Roman guards. But now his body was missing. They didn't know how this could have happened. That's when the angels encouraged them not to be paralyzed by fear. The angels shared with them the reason they could not find Jesus' body in the tomb. He encouraged the women to look into the tomb. If they need further confirmation of his resurrection, the angel didn't want them to be left without any doubts about what had taken place. Jesus had overcome the death, and he was alive. Here's a question for you guys to think about is, what was the significance of the angels inviting the women to see where Jesus has been? And why is a bodily resurrection of Jesus so important to the Christian faith? And we kind of, at the very beginning, was pointing to some of Paul's, and that's just a fragment of what I can go into. And trust me, I try to keep these down to an hour. And trust me, I could go a lot longer. I was just giving some fuel for the fire, some passages that you can grab onto and run with them, memorize them, seek God's direction. But without the resurrection, guys, I'll give you some more scriptures. Why not? Without the resurrection, the gospel would be meaningless. Romans 9, when we looked at Romans 10 and 9. Also, forgiveness of sin would be hopeless. 1 Corinthians 15:17. Your present life would be joyless. 1 Corinthians 15:18-19. Godly living would be fruitless. John 14:12. Future life would be worthless. John 14:1-2. And scripture goes on and on. I'll tell you, our life would be most miserable. Mine would be miserable if I knew if this is all I had in this life. This is my only hope in this life. What is the point? I don't understand those. I know Satan has them blind. That this, how do they keep on going on? When we look at what the misery of this life, even today as we look at our economy and those, I will tell you, there are people truly hurting. Bad. Bad beyond what you can imagine. And I haven't looked at the numbers, but I'm figure the numbers will come out. Sometime I'll be able to look at them. The rate of suicide, the rate of depression, the rate of anxiety, I'm pretty sure they're off the charts. Why? Because if we're clinging to the hope of this world, it's going to leave us miserable. But if we cling to the hope of Jesus Christ, especially in times of struggle, but we cling regardless. He is the God of the hills, and he is God of the valleys. But in those dark valleys, what I have found, clinging to hope, knowing that this life is only temporary, in the end, what's waiting for those who love him is beyond what we can imagine. What's waiting for me that loves Jesus with everything, guys, beyond what I can imagine. And that right there fills me with hope. It fills me with joy. And I will tell you, most days I could not make it. I would be miserable. verse 7 through 8 says, "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goes before you in Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they depart quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and they run to bring his disciples word. The angel gave the woman a critical assignment. He directed them to go to the disciples within this message about Jesus' resurrection. Disciples needed to know that he was risen, right? And they also needed to know about meeting Jesus, plan to have them with them in Galilee. At that moment, they were still in Jerusalem. As soon as they received the message from the women, they needed to make their way to Galilee where they would see Jesus. He would be waiting for them. Notice the angel instructed the women to go quickly. They followed with instruction, left in a hurry with a mixture of fear and great joy in their heart. They went in search of the disciples so they could share the good news. In those days, the testimony of women didn't carry much weight. Therefore, a person that at that time who read Matthew's account of what happened would have been skeptic to the women's testimony that Jesus was alive. However, it was the truth, and Matthew reported it faithfully and accurately. Verse 9 through 10 says, "And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that go into Galilee. There shall they see me." The woman had no idea they would meet Jesus as they raced to tell the disciples. He met them with an upbeat greeting. Hearing him say all hail came to a welcome surprise. Once they recognized him, they immediately worshipped him. Oh, our God deserves worship. And they display their submission to him by bowing before him, holding him by the feet. By worshiping him, they affirmed that he was God. By allowing them to worship him, Jesus made the same affirmation. Jesus repeated the assignment that the angel had given to the women. He urged them not to be afraid as they carry it out. Jesus referred to the disciples as his brother. This term brother points an intimate portrait of spiritual kingship. It sheds light on the way Jesus felt about his disciples. Even though they have failed him, he still loved them. He looked forward to seeing them in Galilee. Obviously, he wanted to be with them and renew their fellowship. He also wanted to prepare them for the kingdom work ahead of them. Thank God for his mighty love, his all-compassing love that covers us like a blanket. Even when we fail him, he corrects us, don't get us wrong, and he chastens us in love. And that love covers us like a blanket. I think of cold weather, and here in Louisiana, we don't have fear cold weather normally. I can remember as a child, we were poor. I guess you could say I'm still poor, but not that poor. We didn't have heat. I remember those old electric blankets. It was so cold. And you may be familiar with those electric blankets. You get in bed and it's so warm. It's so cold out in the area. You know, and 20 degrees in Louisiana is cold. Now, all the northern people up there, if you're listening, I know that's nothing compared to snow on the ground and single-digit temps. But, you know, this country boy don't do cold very well. And as a kid, I didn't go cold very well. And you get on that warm blanket and that alarm goes off and you gotta get up for school. You don't want to get out of it. You don't want to. You don't want to leave that warmth. Just step into the cold. God is like that warm blanket. He cover His love is like that warm comforter. It just covers you. Comforts you. Thank God for His love. Verse 11 says, "And now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and shewed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. About the same time, the guards who have encountered the angel at the empty tomb hurried to Jerusalem too, but they didn't go to Pilate with a report of what had taken place. That's what they were ordinary would have done. Instead, they went to the temple and reported what they have seen to the chief priests. They may have gone to the priests because they had been assigned to the temple. They gave their account of the earthquake, the angel who moved the stone, and the empty tomb." Verse 12 through 14 says, "And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night. They stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ear, we pursue him. Secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day." See, after the priests heard the guards' report, they conveyed a meeting to discuss how to handle this situation. The news of Jesus' resurrection would turn the world upside down. In doing so, the priests would lose their control over the people of Israel. For that reason, they set out to strive the report. First, they offer the guards a bribe. Here you see large money. If the guards' superior officers found out about the bribe, they would probably have faced execution. In order to take such a big risk, the bribe had to be substantial. A lot of money, right? Obviously, the priest didn't have a problem with bribing the guards. Earlier in Matthew 26, 14 through 16, Judas, the one that betrayed Christ, 30 pieces of silver. So they weren't beyond offering large sums of money to people. Then the priests, they concoct a story to cover up what actually happened. Of course, the story didn't make no sense. For example, they wanted the guards to say that the disciples went to the tomb, stole the body of Jesus while all the guards were sleeping. Guards, Roman soldiers, trained warriors, probably experienced in hand-to-hand brutal combat, right? They didn't play games, as we would say in our English vernacular. You know, they were real. They were brutal. But somehow the disciples, which were not truly trained soldiers, warriors with swords and been experienced in battle and taking people's lives, were able to go get past these guards and this stone that was rolled in place. If you look how the caves or the tombs of that day, how that these stones were heavy. And when they were designed, when they rolled in place, they were designed to not be moved out of place. They were, as you say, rock solid. You would need more than a few disciples be able to move the tomb. You would need a whole lot more. Even it would be almost impossible to move that stone. But they were able to get past the guards, or maybe subdue the guards, wherever you, and roll this stone from this tomb and steal Jesus' a body. They see they were wanting to this is how you know this is the this account for them trying to these guys they were just very manipulative for them trying to come up with this story points to the reality and the truthness of the historical account that Jesus rose from the grave. See, their plan to cover the truth about Jesus' resurrection, the priests anticipate the guards would never would need some assurance they would be protective right here too. So the priests assure them they would not go into trouble with the governor if he found out they actually transported transpired at the tomb. Of course, Pilate was the governor. He had negotiated Jesus, battered Jesus, questioned Jesus, had him scourge, gave the order to crucify him. He would render fierce, severe judgment on the guards if found they had participated in a plot to cover up what actually happened to Jesus. Priest told the guards to leave the work of pursuing Pilate to them. Dealing with him probably involved bribing him too in order to secure his silence about Jesus' resurrection. The guards, of course, they agreed to this. To carry the plan to hatch by the priest. They told the tale about the disciples stealing the body of Jesus in the night where they slept. Over time, the story spread throughout the land. Their lie prevented Jewish people at that time from believing the truth about Jesus' resurrection. Let's pause here and let's kind of think about this. And even today, you have those that will question the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some will say that he wasn't really dead on that cross. But let's think about what went down. Let's just look at the pure scourging. Now, the scourging, the Roman soldiers, they were expert at torment, torturing, killing. The scourging in this case was tying a person up to a beam and exposing the backside while they have this whip made of leather straps with shards of wherever they could find bone and glass sharp, and it was designed to whip that person and to rip the rip the flesh. I was getting a call and it might have a gap in that part, but to rip the flesh. So the scourging alone would have killed most that we're experiencing, and what we know about the historical account of the scourging of Jesus Christ, the scourging, he would have died just from blood loss, period. Then you take the crucifixion. He was dying before he was going up to that hill to die on that cross for you and me. Crucifixion. The soldiers were very... This was not their first crucifixion. This was a crucifixion. They just viewed it as normal. We know it wasn't. And in the end, they realize it was not a normal one with the earthquake and stuff. So when they took him from that cross, they knew he was dead. By not saying he was not, by failing their duty of killing somebody, they would be killed or face extreme torment. So today, if you hear that, you immediately should think about all of those factors. When somebody saw he wasn't really dead, only he was in the tomb alive, you know, already beaten dead, and he was able to, this heavy stone, to pull that stone back, right? Lying in the tomb, and then here, what the elders were doing here, trying to say that the disciples came by night and stole away while all the Roman soldiers were sleeping on the duty, on their job. This right here would have faced a death sentence for many of them for not following through with their orders. Do some study on the Roman Empire and you will. They didn't play. And the Roman soldiers, they were concerned because they said, well, if the governor hears about this. And the elders said, well, don't worry about that. We will take care of the governor. Whatever means that would have been about. And when we read the historical account here, it shouldn't surprise us today. People still try to come up explanations why Jesus did not rise from the dead. And we'll tell you, it's sad to hear them. And it should break our hearts to hear that. Because without them believing in the resurrection, they will not be saved. If they keep denying Christ, and tonight was their last night, or their last day, they will see God. They will see Christ. At that point, their denial is futile. God did give them opportunities in this life to come to Christ, and they choose not to. When they hear somebody like me talking about the resurrection, they will mock us. And that's God telling them, hey, listen to what that person has to say. He's trying to reach them. That's why they're still alive. And I pray that anybody here, if you follow this ministry through these years, I know that you believe in the resurrection. You believe in truth. Closing this out, 3 kind of points here is Jesus conquered death, affirming his identity and giving all believers hope. Second, as the resurrected King, Jesus is worthy of our worship. Third, even when faced with undeniable facts of Jesus' resurrection, some will refuse to believe him in him. See, even when we present the evidence of the resurrection, we must take in account that people will still not believe. And that's on them. We present the case of Christ to them, the case of the resurrection. And then they're left with that choice to make. And I want to just leave you guys with this. Identify people in your life who have not yet accepted Jesus and the truth of the resurrection. Pray that God will open them up to the truth. And what actions do you need to take to challenge people you identify to re-examine the truth of Jesus' resurrection? We are supposed to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And we are supposed to let our light shine. So let's do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we just close this study out, we lift your name above any others. Let your words soak deep in our being. Just the scriptures alone. Let's go back and re-examine them. Let's feel the heaviness of this message on our hearts, on those that choose to reject the gift of salvation. It should break our hearts and bring us to our knees as we think about those. If today was their last day, heaven is not what they're getting. Hell, because they asked for it, is what they will receive. Everlasting torment, not because you want to send them there, because they are sending themselves there by denying you. For we know you sent your son, your only begotten son, into this world. And there's that belief, that is the belief in him. And the belief is that commitment to him, is that pursuing him, saying I'm all in, and leaning on God's word. For through your son, that lived among us, who experienced the things of this life and had no sin. He did not commit no sin in his life. He was that sinless lamb, that perfect lamb. He had to go to be slaughtered on that cross. His blood had to be spilled for you and me. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, no forgiveness of our sins. Oh, how that love, just we see it through the salvation message. Oh, the mercy and the grace should drive us to our knees, for there is none like it. For his grace and mercy is beyond what we can grasp. Although we try, our words fall short. For the cross speaks louder than anything I can say. I'm just mere man trying to explain something beyond what I can understand. A love beyond definition. And he offers that to everyone. And we know he was removed from the cross. We know that he was dead. We know that he was placed in a tomb. We know that third day he rose from the grave. And we know one day he's coming back for us that truly believe in him, that truly abide in him, that truly will walk in the spirit and less in the flesh. Our sins are grievous to our hearts. We do not love our sin. We hate our sin. It drives us to our knees in repentance and asking forgiveness and praying for strength to let that light radiate through us to those all around us. Oh, that is the Christian life. Oh, that is the disciple life. To be a Christian is to be a disciple, to count the cost and say, I'm all in. I'll follow you to the end. Regardless of what this life hits me with, I will stand. Because the Holy Spirit guides and directs me. The Holy Spirit pushes me to reach that mark. It's that sanctification, that process that we are justified through you. We are sanctified through you. We are that regeneration through you. We are new in you, and we strive to walk the walk that you have for each and every one of us. The ministry you have laid out for us. Give us strength to the very end. In the end times. And the times when the Antichrist will come. Oh, give us strength to keep pressing on. To proclaim the gospel. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name. Jesus Christ, amen. If you guys have any questions, y'all know y'all can reach me through Facebook. On this website, you can send me a email. If you do send me an email, just make sure in the subject heading you reference this website out. So if it does go to spam, I'll check my spam off and on. I'll see that Wake Up America Church Ministry in the subject line, and I'll hit it. If not, then I may not see it. So make sure you do that. If you're not on my Facebook group, you can definitely send me a private message. Also reference this website out, and I'll add you onto my Facebook and the private group. I get on Twitter here and there and Instagram, but those are other ways you can kind of hit me up on. If you guys have any questions, please contact me. Love y'all. Y'all have a good rest of your day. Good if you're listening to the weekend. A good rest of the weekend. And a good if you're during the week. Pray that your week is going good. Bye.